Wham! Talk 1600. You're catching the drift. Conservative talk. Intelligent conversations on local, state, and national issues with Gary Wellings, chief editor of the Current newspaper and Current Online. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. And now, your host, Gary Wellings.
And good Saturday afternoon. Thanks for tuning in to catch our drift. Joining me in studio, Ipsy Ed Bondarenko.
Hey there.
You moved that microphone as quiet as
I
a church
I didn't hear
mouse.
A sproing. I just realized, what am I supposed to talk into?
Yeah, that right there. Exactly. So, well, welcome to the drift. What we do on the drift every Saturday is go over the news that I put on the dailydrift.com. It's
the news you need to know.
Yes, thank you. And it's news from around the world, across the country, and right here at home. It's the news you don't see on the mainstream media, so check it out, www.thedailydrift.com. And if you want to email me instead of calling into the show today, gary@thedailydrift.com, you can mail me in your comments, and we can talk about them. But let's take care of a little business.
Wait, do you do fake news on the drift? Fake news, do you?
No, we're going to talk about some fake news coming up really quick here. Lots to do this weekend in the hour that we have. So let's take care of a little business. If you're looking for salt for your water softeners out in South Lyon, Whitmore Lake, Brighton, the best place to get your salt, Martin's Hardware, 22970 Pontiac Trail in South Lyon. Very easy, right on Pontiac Trail there. He's got coupons in the Current, and go to currentonline.com, COURANTonline.com. $4 off if you buy 6 bags of Hardy Cube Red Out. And there's a coupon on the Current. There's also $1 off 2 bags of Hardy Cube or Hardy Cube Red Out. And the Red Out is, if you have little iron, those rust stains, diamond crystal salt. It's great stuff.
Get the Red Out. Yep.
That's what I try to use. I can't always find it. So
murine is so expensive to use in a water softener. You don't want to use murine. You want to use
yes. You get to your Hardy Cube. Diamond crystal is good salt. So check them out. Martin's Hardware, 248-437-6000. 248-437-6000. Okay, so check them out. Yeah, it's something you want to take a look at. So we're going to start out today, right, with the New York Times op-ed.
Yeah. Who wrote that anyhow?
Well, since you bought the Current, we'll talk about this for a second here. You bought the Current for me about a year ago now.
A year ago. This is the anniversary.
And so I think I'd had 11 years at the paper as the owner and chief editor. And I had one real rule, and that rule was to not produce fake stuff. I tried to get all my facts together. I don't recall doing more than maybe one or two corrections in 11 years where I may have had something misquoted or something wrong, and we fixed it with a retraction, a correction. But one rule I always had, because I always had people call, I want to do a letter, I want to write something, but I don't want to put my name on it. No.
Right.
If you want to print something in a newspaper, you will attribute your name to it.
You'll have the nerve. You'll have the
You back up your opinion
fortitude.
Or your news or your article or your column with your name. It's you who wrote it. So there's no hiding behind an anonymous op-ed. So when the old gray lady, my hashtag is gray lady down, the New York Times is no longer a newspaper. It is a scandal rag, a piece of garbage not worth wiping your rear end with.
Bruce on the abolitionist roundtable this morning said he refers to it as the New York Daily Worker.
This is literally they committed suicide, journalistic suicide, by putting in an op-ed anonymously. If you don't have the guts to put your name on something, you're a coward, or a liar, or a thief, or all three. This guy is absolute guy or gal, whoever wrote it. And my thinking is this. Here's my thought. My thought is simply this. When you read it, it's crafted, well written, written by a professional, I'm assuming, journalist. I do not believe that even a highly educated, top-level cabinet member in the Trump Post can write something as proseful, I guess. I'm trying to think of the word. Mm-hmm. It's just
litter.
Crafted.
Litter is the word.
It's too crafted to be a letter from business guy, Department of Commerce, whatever. Mm-hmm. It's not. The other thing that hits me is the timing. Really? You wait it until 48 hours after Bob Woodward puts his piece of crap out on, you know, it's the timing, the prose, none of it makes any sense. I'm calling it right now, it's garbage, it's fiction. I don't believe that anybody in the Trump administration is going to fess up to that. Nobody, because it wasn't any of them.
I have an opinion, yeah, about the New York Times article and Woodward. Now, Woodward says, hey, I've got the tapes of all the interviews to back this up. I won't let you listen to them, but I have the tapes. And the New York Times is doing the same thing. They're saying, we're putting our name on the line. So the Anonymous doesn't put his name on the line, but they say, we know who it is. Therefore, we will put our name on the line because we can swear that this person actually wrote this. Now, if that's the case, then there's somebody in the Trump administration who's a weasel, a real weasel.
Yeah.
Right? If it's not the case, as far as I'm concerned, the New York Times should go down in flames for putting their name to something like this, as despicable as this is.
Fictional garbage. Now, listener Joanne in Ohio sent an email, and she thinks it's an employee at the NY Times as well, or could it be Kellyanne Conway's husband, George, who is a rabid never-Trumper?
But he's not a high-level official.
Exactly. Again, fiction, because you don't work in the administration if it was him.
Yeah.
It could be a reach. We have no proof of that. But it's an interesting theory Joanne puts out because, you know, he is a rabid anti-Trumper and, you know, obviously could overhear a conversation, I guess, if he's sitting in the living room and his wife's in the kitchen on the phone. You know, that kind of thing could possibly happen, but I'm assuming.
Well, thanks, Joanne. That's a good. It's a good thinking.
It's not even tinfoil. I mean, it's a good one.
Yeah.
So if you got comments on this NYT editorial fiction piece, 734-822-1600. Call in. Give us your opinion on that because I just don't believe it. They broke the number one rule, as far as I'm not a journalist.
I got to disagree now. These companies, these news providers, have used anonymous sources for years. Normally,
different.
An editor will write the author, a reporter will write the article, and he will base it on anonymous sources. In this case, it's an anonymous letter.
It's an anonymous author. And that's
which is similar, but in this case now, the editorial board is saying, we put our imprimatur on it. We say, we vouch for this. We know who it is. So if, you know, there's the integrity of the editorial board is on, which is the essence of the newspaper, is on trial right now. Because if it was a reporter, and we've seen this happen before with the false stories, the fake news for years about, oh, I know this is going on. And then the guy goes to jail for breaking the law and defaming people based on stuff that he knew was wrong. Or he loses his career totally. But that's the author and the paper survives.
Right.
But in this case, will the paper survive?
Yeah, I don't believe that the editorial board at the New York Times has any integrity to begin with. I think they are liberal globalist elites who are pushing this, and everyone wants to get rid of Donald. They all loved Donald Trump before he ran for office as a Republican, right? It's that simple. But now that he's clearly made his agenda to clean the
now
swamp
that he's
and
sided
return
with
government,
the Russians and become a racist, and decided to destroy America all overnight. Yeah, now they despise him.
All this is a reaction of the swamp from being drained. These people are scared. The Washington elite, and I believe the crimes being committed by the globalist elite, the Washington elite on both sides of the aisle, is so horrendous. They're scared to death, and that's why they're fighting tooth and nail, trying to come up with everything they can get to do this. So, Derek, let's take a quick break, a short one. And when we come back, we're going to jump into the Kavanaugh hearings. But if you want to call in and talk about the NYT editorial, feel free to do that. So we will see all of you on the other side of the break. And we'll talk about the Kavanaugh hearing is in the chaos mongering from the Democratic Party. So, Derek, you got anything ready there? Okay, we'll see you on the other side.
Hello, Wham! Listeners. I'm Edwin Hoffman, host of Speaking of Art. Join me Saturdays at 3 p.m. We'll circumnavigate the world of art with lively interviews with renowned artists, collectors, dealers, museum directors and curators, writers, actors, musicians, and philanthropists. Close to home or far afield, we'll visit museums, galleries, and historic sites. We'll explore the lives of famous artists and their times, discuss current trends in art, architecture, design, and antiques collecting, as well as ways to grow and protect a collection. But the main component is you and what you can take from the show to enhance the creativity of your life. Speaking of Art is one of the great conversations in your week, lively and full of relevance. So nestle into an overstuffed chair and join our room full of connoisseurs every Saturday at 3 on Wham! Talk 1600. Speaking of art, it's about civilization, yours.
A&H Lawn Service in Saline serves all of southeast Michigan. Co-founders Tim and Brandon have been offering professional lawn maintenance since 1991. Landscape construction, lawn and landscape maintenance, irrigation systems, winterizing, and snow removal. Let A&H Lawn Service help your business with landscaping solutions for today and tomorrow. Tim and Brandon have the professional experience you can count on. Call them today at 734-429-5778. See how their business can help your business. Visit A&H Lawn Service online at ahlawncare.com. Better yet, call Tim and Brandon today at 734-429-5778. Find out how they can make your business look a whole lot better. That's A&H Lawn Service, ahlawncare.com.
Hi, I'm Tim Austin, the A in A&H Lawn Service. Brandon and I started our landscape business in 1991 and grown our business into a full-service landscape and landscape maintenance company. We would love to add your name to our list of happy customers.
And welcome back. Thanks for tuning in to Catch Our Drift in the studio with Ipsy Ed Bondarenka. And let's take care of a little business real quick. This segment brought to you by Max Marine in Whitmore Lake in South Lyon. Best fall layup and services, a winterizing, shrink wrapping, storage, and do-it-yourself supplies. They've got a pontoon restoration, $21.99 for wood deck, lighting, carpeting, and that includes the labor. Also free pickup, delivery, and storage.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a good deal.
Mm-hmm.
Your storage alone is going to cost you something over the winter. So check it out. Maybe you've got an older pontoon and you need to get you're thinking about just sprucing it up a bit. New carpet and decking for sure makes a world of difference. So $21.99 pontoon restoration. Call for details at 248-486-8300. That's 248-486-8300. That's Max Marina in South Lyon. And they also have a shop right there on Whitmore Lake. So great place to get your winterization supplies as well. Okay, so let's move on to the Kavanaugh hearing.
Okay.
And this is what I think people need to pay attention to. To get into those hearings, you have to be invited.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody invited all those morons that showed up.
Oh, yeah.
Protesting, acting like children, out of hand, uncivilized.
Oh, they brought in children, too. They brought in children, too. And
70 people, I think, arrested?
Was it that many?
I think it was 70.
Wow.
That's the last I had heard. I think there was like 70 people arrested. People thrown out. This is a complete – Judge Kavanaugh had to have his children removed because the language, the things they were saying were so horrific that – he said, can you get my children out of here?
Hey, Swiss knife, how many guys got arrested?
If you can look for it. I thought I saw 70.
Ask Google. Google.
I could be wrong. But I thought it was 70.
Okay.
That's
an impressive number.
It's amazing because you know what? And here's the other thing that people didn't make the mainstream. There was released records of a conference call on the Democrat side with Chuck Schumer, Dianne Feinstein, and all the other senators and some congresspeople.
Mm-hmm.
That they were doing this on purpose.
They were collaborating.
They were collaborating. They were colluding.
That's
they were
the word
setting this whole charade up to make. And bear in mind, folks, it wasn't, what, 10, 12 years ago? This same judge was approved by most of those same senators and put in as a federal judge. So they loved him 12 years ago, and now he's the be-all, end-all, devil of the night.
Yeah.
So it, this is what the Democrats do. They're trying to alienate. They're using every Alinsky tactic in the book. They learned well from Barack Obama, Barack Hussein Obama, Barack Mujahideen Obama, right?
Thanks, Walter.
The nerve of that guy to come out and try and take credit for the economy yesterday? They, have you no shame, sir? Have you no shame?
I
want somebody to release his records. Can Donald Trump go in and expunge and let all the records from his college days and everything else out? Can he have somebody do that?
I don't know, tell you the truth. I mean, a grand jury could.
I would like to see that.
Yes. Oh, speaking of grand juries, a grand jury has been impaneled on Andrew McCabe. You know?
That's right.
So a federal prosecutor, and I can't pin down exactly who, and it turns out it happened a month ago, and the news only leaked out recently.
Yeah.
And, you know, and the beauty of it is when a grand jury comes in, they can say, well, we want to talk to so-and-so, and we want to see these papers, and it becomes its own Mueller investigation.
Yeah.
You know, by citizens.
There is so much dirt.
I'm sorry. May I finish? I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I took a breath and I wasn't done. A grand jury is a panel of citizens. Now, the federal prosecutors can kind of point them in a direction, but then they can start looking. They can start asking questions. So it's not just like Mueller and his Hillary sycophants, you know, saying this is all we're going to do. No, these are citizens. This is the way it's supposed to
be. How do I get to be on a grand jury?
You got to get picked. No. You're volunteering for jury duty? Is that what you're telling me?
To be on a grand jury, you bet your sweet bottom dollar.
That's a very disruptive process. My wife, my first wife was.
I'll put my house up for sale to sit on a grand jury in D.C. Come on, pick me, Mr. Sessions. Pick me.
And then the things you learn that never come out.
They wouldn't like me on there. So according to Derek, there have been 227 arrests at the Kavanaugh hearings. Now, come on, Democrats. Are you that vile, despicable that you're and people are getting paid. They've got video of these protesters being paid.
Exactly.
Hello, George Soros. Why are you paying people to disrupt our constitutional democracy here?
Yeah.
Disgusting. Let's take a call from Alex in Plymouth who wants to talk about that New York Times op-ed. Alex, welcome to the show.
Hey, Alex.
Hi, guys. How are you doing?
Good.
Okay, well, that New York Times anonymous letter to the editor, it's just the last chapter of the media smear campaign to overturn the 2016 election. It's just throwing crap against the fan and throwing chum in the waters in hopes that people be so disgusted with the whole process that they won't show up in 2018, and that's the game plan.
Yeah, this is... Nothing. You hit it right on the head. I think I tweeted that out earlier, didn't I? This is nothing but the mainstream media, the Democrats, the liberal progressive left, and the never-Trump elite Republicans, the globalists, who want to overturn our decision from the 2016 election. Folks, this is what you got to remember the Democrats are trying to do. You picked Donald Trump. I know it wasn't the most popular thing, but the Electoral College meant the majority of people in this country, by state, said, we want Donald Trump, we want his agenda, we want secure borders, we want fair trade, and we want, we're not doing balance, but anyways, follow the Trump agenda because it's our agenda.
Yeah,
we're the ones that picked it. This is a direct attack on the American people by the globalist elite, by the Democratic Party, and the mainstream media. Trying to overturn our decision in the 2016
election.
You
know, when I hear, oh, but Hillary won the popular vote, I could care less because that's not the rules. That's like saying,
that is not the rules.
Oh, this football team would have won in my fantasy football league, you know?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. In real life, it's the Electoral College. That's the rules. That's the way it's meant to be, and that's doggone it. That's the way we're going to keep it.
I got a friend on Facebook today who said something about, you know, the Electoral College is outdated. Those guys didn't know what they were doing. They were dumb or whatever. And I'm like, dude, they're smarter than you'll ever be. The Electoral College was, let's remember this. The founding fathers were looking so far into the future. They knew we would be a bigger country. And they knew that eventually government would get big and out of control and that people would end up getting on the dole. People would be more, there would be more takers than producer, and they needed to protect those people who produce, who live in the heartland, and not protect the special interests around D.C., the seats of government. And so the Electoral College was a brilliant idea.
Hey, it's based on legislative districts, you know? So every representative, every congressional district gets an elector. So it is, in a sense, a popular vote. But even back then, they were concerned when they wrote about why they were doing it. It was because of urban versus rural or agricultural needs or you know, wishes.
Right. You didn't want the people in the heartland, the backbone of our country, mm-hmm. to be run roughshod over by these elite living in the coastal cities and around the seat of government. And they were so forward-thinking to do that. It's an amazing thing that our founding fathers were able to come up with that plan and think that far ahead to protect us, because that's what they're doing. You people in Michigan, Ohio, Montana, Colorado, wherever, you are protected by the founding fathers from the authoritarianship of New York and California.
Right. I read today that there's a...
Go ahead, Alex.
Well, just one point on Electoral College is that it brings the democracy closer to the people. You know, I mean, if you know your local elector, you have a better chance to tell them exactly how, or her, exactly how you feel and exactly what you want. Well, when you have just a popular vote, our votes are negated by the few popular, largest population states in New York City and Los Angeles. It doesn't represent the heartland.
That's right.
I understand that there's an effort in the Michigan legislature right now to give go along with the process of eliminating the Electoral College. This is what I read in an article this morning. I didn't have time to follow it up because I had other stuff to do. I don't know who's behind it, but hey, this is a Republican-controlled legislature in this state. Why they're even entertaining the idea of leaving this Republican form of government, and I don't mean Republican Party. I mean Republican, you know, as a Democratic Republic or, you know.
Well, Constitutional Republic.
Thank you. That's the word I prefer to use. Thank you.
Yeah, and that's what we are. We're not the democracy, the mob rule. That's just not how it's done here.
Right.
And why it's being entertained by Republicans here in the state of Michigan? Because Republicans are elitists. The Michigan Republican Party, in my book, are worthless. They don't know how to get anybody elected. They're very poor when it comes to marketing. I doubt that they're helping John James very much. I doubt that they're helping Bill Schuette that much.
Yeah.
You know, I just don't see it. I'm not seeing enough commercials for Bill Schuette. I think he's outspent 2-1 by Debbie Stabenow.
I think he's their sacrificial lamb.
Yeah. Well, great call, Alex.
Let's hope that the good people in Michigan stand up to this stuff, because we can't have Democrats running our state. And thanks for letting me call in, and you guys are doing a great job.
Well, thank you, sir. Take care, Alex. Have a great weekend.
All right, you too.
Okay. Yeah, the Republican Party here in Michigan needs to get off of stuff. Number one, get some fresh blood in there. Stop with the old elite garbage. You guys keep putting the same people in charge of campaigns, and they don't know how to really get people elected. They're just morons. They don't use social media correctly. They don't do anything right. Yeah, we never hear from anybody. Even here, here we are, most conservative station in the most populous part of the state, and how many times do we get Republicans, John James, Bill Schuette in here to speak their mind and give their opinions?
Unless we ask them.
And even then, they don't come.
Yeah. Well,
hello, McFly. This is Southeast Michigan. This is Wham Talk 1600. We've got especially for the primaries, for crying out loud. You would have thought, hey, where do conservatives get their news? Wham Talk 1600. How come you're not in here talking to us? So the Republican Party in the state of Michigan has got to get off their duff and do their job, because you know what? They're just elitists, and I don't know if they're just collecting salaries or what they do, but they're not doing their job well.
Well, they're wired into the status quo.
Right. All right. Well, we're hitting – how long before the next break there, Derek?
30 seconds.
Okay.
Wow.
Okay. So we've got a call coming in from Chicago. Hang in there, caller. We'll get to you on the other side of the break, and we'll talk to you then. We'll see you on the other side.
People are always on the move, driving to work, hauling the kids to practice. How do they keep up to date? They listen to Wham Talk 1600 just like you. If you're a business owner, your message can reach these people wherever their travels take them. People tune to Wham Radio for intelligent conversation with hosts like Joe Pags, Glenn Beck, Theron X, and Dana Lesh. And they'll stay tuned for your message as well. Call 734-971-1600 today and advertise your business on Wham Talk 1600 and whamradio.com.
Fox News Radio, I'm Karen McHugh. The governor of North Carolina not taking any chances. Roy Cooper's declared a state of emergency as Tropical Storm Florence grows in the Atlantic. It may be headed for the southeast coast, but for how long?
I can't give specifics as to how long it'll last, but I can say that even after the storm makes a potential impact on land, that not only will wind and storm surge be a problem, but even inland, the heavy rain and flooding will also likely be an issue.
Robbie Bergs with the National Hurricane Center. Democrats warn about GOP efforts to replace and repeal Obamacare in their weekly address.
Amidst all the noise of the repeated tweet storms from what some of his own employees recently described as crazy town, President Trump has teamed up with his House Republican enablers to undermine health insurance protections for millions of Americans.
Texas Representative Lloyd Doggett, Fox News. We report, you decide.
Brooks Cushman is a nationally recognized full-service intellectual property law firm that helps their clients thrive by applying the right resources, right technical expertise, and right costs for all clients. Whether you need help with a patent, trademark, or litigation matter, at Brooks Cushman, the attorneys are responsive and accommodating to their clients' needs. Brooks Cushman has offices in Southfield, Michigan, and Los Angeles, California. You can visit them at www.brookscushman.com. That's Cushman with a K. Again, that's www.brookscushman.com. Cushman with a K. Or at 248-358-4400. Again, 248-358-4400. Protect your idea the right way with Brooks Cushman.
Your bridge to recovery and wellness is WellBridge. WellBridge is redefining the rehabilitation and nursing care experience with the most amazing resort-like care facilities you've ever seen. Their driving goal is to provide each guest with an epic experience. And in their pursuit of excellence, WellBridge asks each guest to complete a customer satisfaction survey after their stay. To date, they've earned a satisfaction rate of 100%. Here are some of the comments received. This is my home away from home. This place is outstanding and everyone is super kind. I am beyond pleased with all the care I received. The staff is so passionate for what they do and it shows. This was my mother's third stay here and she always loves it. I've referred this place to many already. My stay has been fantastic. For rehabilitation and nursing care, ask for something epic. Ask for WellBridge. In Brighton, Fenton, Novi, and Pinckney. Now looking for talented nurses and certified nurse assistants to join their growing team. Learn more at thewellbridgegroup.com. WellBridge, your bridge to recovery and wellness starts here.
And welcome back. Thanks for tuning in to Catch Our Drift in studio with Ipsy Ed Bondarenka.
Happy to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
Glad to have you in here every Saturday with me, man. Hamburg Quick Lube. You need an oil change? 810-231-0121. Located on East M36, 7554 East M36. There's a $7 off full service coupon in the current.
How can you not take advantage of this?
$7 is $7. Yeah. That's a six-pack of beer. Next to Hamburg Car Wash, Hamburg Quick Lube, $7 off. And you can reach them at 810-231-0121. It's where I get my oil changed. Just saying. Mm-hmm. And they do a good job. I like the guys there. They're very friendly, good guys. So $7 off coupon. Go to currentonline.com, CourantOnline.com. And advertise in The Current. If you got a business here in Metro Detroit, advertise in The Current.
Yeah.
It's a great place. We've got real community content, conservative opinions, which is unlike any other paper around here.
People read it. They don't just say, throw it in the trash. They want to read it, and while they're reading it, they're going to see what you got to say.
I can't tell you the number of bathrooms I've been in where it's sitting in the bathroom reading rack. So there you go, currentonline.com, CourantOnline.com. Okay, so we're talking about the New York Times editorial, and Jasmine from Chicago wants to call in. Jasmine, welcome to the show. Oh, no, I got the wrong one. Derek, can you change it up, please? Jasmine, welcome to the show.
Hello there.
Hey, how are you? How's Chicago?
Oh, you know.
More people dying. It's a weekend. People dying. Ambulances are running. It's that thing, right?
Really.
But you want to talk about the New York Times editorial?
Yeah, actually, I just wanted to comment that I didn't read the whole thing, but I read some of it. Read to me like something James Comey would write.
He has been suggested as the author, and I wondered when I heard that, well, do they mean former administration official, you know? Does that count?
That's a whole other possibility. I didn't even think about that. It could very well be because, well, yeah, if you've read any of the stuff from James Comey's tweets and stuff, and that's kind of the way it reads. You're right, Jasmine. It does kind of sound like it could be a Comey letter.
Yeah, you know, I was talking to somebody about it at work yesterday, and they said, I never thought of that. I said, hey, I'm not just about the looks, you know?
Right.
But anyway, and the other thing, I really wish somebody would have had the nerve, because, you know, Obama was here yesterday, and screwing up, you know, more young people's brains down at University of Illinois. And I would have loved it if somebody would have gotten up, you know, when he was taking credit for the economy, if somebody would have gotten up and said, you didn't build that.
That's brilliant.
That is brilliant. Well done, Jasmine. I mean, well done.
Wouldn't that have been great? I mean, the media would, of course, not covered it, but, you know, somebody would have had it.
Yeah, well, that's a great tagline for crying out loud. Put that on Facebook or Twitter. Get that out there and tag me on it or something, because that's a winner. That's brilliant.
You know, I was watching Tucker Carlson last night, and they were showing clips of Obama speaking and then Trump in reply, and then Obama speaking and Trump in reply. And my wife was in the kitchen. She was listening, and she asked me, she said, are they actually debating each other? That would be great. Wouldn't that be great if you actually had Trump and Obama debating each other? She had a wonderful idea there.
Yeah. Oh, I would love to see that.
Yeah.
I bet you it would be like the biggest HBO special ever.
Oh, my goodness. Pay-per-view.
Imagine how many charities we could fund with that, because I bet you everybody would pay for that.
Yeah.
I know I would. I'm not one of those guys that normally pays extra for HBO events, but I would pay to see that. You know it. What else you got, Jasmine?
Well, you know, the other thing is, you know, we kind of touched a little bit on Chicago. I don't know if you know this or not, but Laura Ingraham did a town hall last night all about Chicago, from Chicago.
Oh, she did? No, I didn't see it.
She did. And I find that, I don't know if you know, well, I'm sure you do know, that during the week, the big news was that Crazy Emanuel is not running for re-election.
Yes, we did hear that beginning of the week, and I guess that's probably a good move on his part, because I don't even think the Democrats want to vote for him at this point.
No. But, you know, the thing is, it kind of is happening like a domino effect. Like, he's leaving, and during the Ingraham town hall meeting, there were a lot of people, like pastors and organizers from Chicago, and they were all saying that they would welcome the National Guard, that they would welcome Donald Trump's, you know, help, which is, I never thought I'd hear that from a pastor in Chicago, you know, but I think that people are starting to, hopefully, starting to open their eyes
Yeah, they're getting woke. They're getting woke, yeah. Right, in Chicago?
Yeah.
Woke.
Yeah. I mean, you know, and I think, it's Saturday, so we'll be getting some interesting numbers, I'm sure, by tomorrow. And, it really makes me feel like I'm in the old movie Silverado, and there's the shootings going on all over the place.
It's the Wild West of Chicago, where guns are banned, but entirely prevalent everywhere, right?
I was thinking of Blazing Saddles, where the people wanted the governor to send in help, and they got Cleavon Little. Why, he's a
I love that movie. Got to watch that.
Oh, my God. Cleavon Little. That's one of my dad's favorites.
Yeah, well, there you go. All right. Well, anything else, Jasmine?
No, just have a great week, you guys.
Okay, you too. And keep us appraised of what's going on out there in Murderland.
Murderland,
Chicago. Stay safe. Stay safe. Duck.
Let's take a call from Elaine in Ypsilanti. Elaine, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you so much. Did you hear Joe call in this morning, his commentary about Obama going across the U.S.?
No, I didn't.
Was that on abolitionists?
Was it the abolitionist roundtable?
Yes.
No, I didn't know. I thought I was listening.
Yeah, didn't hear.
Well, I didn't quite hear him real good, but he said something about he was trying not to laugh himself off the couch because he called Obama's tour a comedy tour.
Oh, no. You know what I just realized? You invoked Joe's name. Beetlejuice.
Also, I wanted to comment about the Electoral College. We heard that before the vote, one Republican said, I'm not voting. And so the stat that I got from someone who seems to be able to dig out good information, and I'm pretty sure I remembered right, two Republicans didn't vote. And five Dems did not vote for Hillary.
Really? In relation to?
When they did the voting in the Electoral College, when they took the vote.
Oh, okay.
The results of the Electoral College, two Republicans didn't vote. One already declared before the vote. And then the other five of the electors. People,
yeah.
Five of them didn't vote for Hillary.
I remember there was talk of that, but in the afterglow of Trump winning, I never followed up on whether anybody did that or not.
That's interesting. We might have to look that up.
Because we had talked at the time if somebody – there were threats to do that. We talked at the time of what legal repercussions would there be against an elector not following the will of the people.
Yeah, interesting.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, well, good point. Anything else, Elaine?
No, I just thought Joe, as usual, gets a really spot-on comment about the comedy tour.
I'm sure we're going to hear from Joe by the end of the hour because you did invoke his name. So, all right. Well, thanks, Elaine. Have a great weekend.
You too.
Take care.
Goodbye.
Somebody said on Facebook that Joe and I come across as cranky and Janice comes across as grating. What drugs are you on?
All right. Well, speaking of cranky, we all heard the Spartacus moment from Cory Booker. Right? So let's set. We've got a great montage, and this is a nice track. Derek, you got track. It'll be the first track there, ready. And this is a montage of the process of the Spartacus moment from Cory Booker. Right. Go ahead and play it. Let pay attention.
I understand that the penalty comes with potential ousting from the Senate. I'm releasing committee confidential
documents. Mr. Chairman.
Here's the interesting piece of that. That email, those emails, had already been cleared for release by the committee.
Several other documents that were supposedly, quote unquote, committee confidential were released by Democrats Thursday morning. But it turns out, as I understand it, they were actually pre-cleared for public release.
This is about the closest I'll probably ever have in my life to an I Am Spartacus moment.
I'm Spartacus.
The senators, at least, were leading people to believe that they were releasing this against the will of the Republicans. What was then revealed was that, in fact, Republicans had looked at all these documents and prepared to release them, and they were eventually released.
The information that he was talking about had actually already been made publicly available.
Late Wednesday night, GOP Senator Mike Lee vowed to work with Booker to get the documents released, even walking across the room to shake on it. Just after 11 a.m. this morning, Booker released four documents via email and Twitter and said this about Cornyn.
I think he was just like most bullies are, a lot of talk and no action.
Wondering if the documents were actually those Lee had worked with Booker to release.
If you don't care about classified information read in front of the entire nation and the rules don't matter to you, even when you can't even violate those rules the right way out of a stunning amount of incompetence.
That is irresponsible and outrageous. And I hope that the senator will reconsider his decision, because no senator deserves to sit on this committee or serve in the Senate, in my view, if they decide to be a law unto themselves and willingly flout the rules of the Senate and the determination of confidentiality and classification. That is irresponsible and conduct unbecoming a senator.
A short time later, Senate Judiciary Committee staffers told reporters that the documents in question had indeed been cleared by 4 a.m. and that Senators Blumenthal, Booker, Coons, and Leahy had been notified shortly thereafter.
Okay. So
where did Cornyn say, didn't he say something about, oh, I'm sorry, I'm interrupting.
Well, I don't know that.
He said something, even for a guy who's running for president in 2020, you know?
And that's exactly what this was. Folks, you're not paying attention if you don't understand what's going on here. Those documents were already cleared at 4 a.m. in the morning, at 11 o'clock or 10 o'clock in the morning, whenever the hearing is on. Cory Booker says, I'm going to release these emails and you can censure me. And he's trying to be the rebel.
I'm
trying to
do something heroic.
Yes. But you know what? And then Blumenthal and the other ones all backed him up and said, yes, go ahead. He's right to be the rebel. He wasn't even being a rebel.
Yeah.
You coward trying to take credit for being a rebel, and you're not, because they were already cleared. You knew you weren't in any trouble.
He fell on his rubber sword. Yeah, that's what he did. He fell on his rubber sword. He knew it was a rubber sword.
This man is nothing but a joke, a clown, a showman, and that's what this is. It's a three-ring circus that the Democrats are putting up trying to gin up their base. Oh. And the American people. This is as phony as it gets, folks.
It is. I heard Ruth Bader Ginsburg in an interview say, I knew Spartacus. You're no Spartacus, sir.
This is nothing but a travesty, a comedy of errors. It is pathetic. Once you look at the real facts of what the Democrats are doing, it's pathetic. It is very, very poor. And people, I want you to get out. We got 60 days, give or take, to the election. And I want you to get out and let's put the death knell on the Democratic Party. Do not vote for any Democrats. I don't care if it's a state, local, or national election. Hit that. I'm not a big fan of straight ticket voting. I really am not.
Mm-hmm.
But in this instance, in 2018, go into that voting booth.
Go to the motions and click every Republican.
Yes. Just hit the straight ticket Republican vote if you have to. And if you have to click each one in those states that don't have straight ticket voting, just go completely Republican. You can't go wrong this time.
A vote for Debbie Dingell is a vote for Nancy Pelosi. There's just no two ways about it. A vote for Stabenow, thank you, is a vote for Chuck Schumer. Yes. There's just no two ways about it. Ask your neighbors. When anybody says, oh, but Trump is, hey, do you want to go back to high unemployment? Do you want to watch the stock market dive? Do you want to watch, I said unemployment already. Man, do you want to see all these things happen that will be the demise of this country? Do you not like the path we're on right now? Ignore the fact that you're being lied to that, you know, oh, racism is on the rise. Prove it. It's not.
Yes, that's exactly right.
I mean, that's all they've got is a bunch of negative lies.
Look, Michigan, in 2016, you voted Donald Trump. You beat the odds, you beat the polling, and you voted for a guy because you knew he wasn't just your typical lying politician, whether he's Republican or Democrat, doesn't matter. Most politicians are lying to you, and even if they're not lying, they're not making the effort to fulfill their campaign promises.
That's most.
Donald Trump is. Donald Trump is the guy that is fulfilling every campaign promise he made to me. And I'm happy with his results because you know what? Layoffs across the country at a 50-year low. Mm-hmm. 50-year low,
folks. We
can't
find people to man the presses and the lines at work. We can't.
Yes.
You're sitting there because people are getting burned out working 12-hour shifts 7 days a week trying to make production. We need people, and ours is not the only plant.
Yeah.
It's endemic.
There are jobs.
Wages are going up. I've seen wages going up.
Yeah. Folks, even if you don't have your GED, get out and start applying because there are jobs you can get for $12, $15, $20
an hour. We will train you.
You'll get trained. Gruber's got that MichiganConstruction.com website.
Yes.
There are jobs in construction all over the place, and they will train you and pay you as you get trained. And here's another Trump economy moment. Manufacturing growth hits a 14-year high. Mr. Obama, you did not build that. Jasmine was right.
Yeah.
You did not build this economy, Mr. Obama. This is a Trump economy, not an Obama economy. The Obama economy was people on welfare. Mm-hmm. That's what he wanted because he can control people on welfare, and that's what Democrats stand for.
Where growth would never be more than 2% ever again. That was Obama.
That was Obama saying that.
He's taking claim for an economy that's booming when he predicted it would never boom.
Yeah.
What a maroon.
Yeah, and I talked with some people this week that were in that vein, and I looked at them like, you must be high. You must be on crack, or you are just the most ignorant person in the world to believe that this economy is based on what Barack Obama did. I can tell you not. Because you know what? The business community looked at Donald Trump and said, that's a business guy, not a lawyer. He knows what he's talking about. Deregulation, tax break. Democrats will take that tax break away from you and shove those regulations back on, and it will shut down this economy. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. All right, I want to play one
track. Donald Trump was willing to believe in something, and he was willing to make the ultimate sacrifice.
And he has.
And he just did it.
Yeah. Yeah, he's put his family and his entire life on the line for us, the American people. So say what you want about Donald Trump. You don't have to like his tweets. You don't have to like his brash behavior or anything else. But you can't argue with the results. And the results are the economy, the stock market, the jobs. If you're arguing against the Trump economy, then you're a racist because more African Americans and more Hispanics are working in this country than ever before. Mm-hmm. So if you argue against Trump's economy, you're a racist. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah.
Okay, let's take a quick call from Walter in Belleville. Walter, welcome to the show.
Oh, man, Gary, I love it when you get fired up like that, man.
Isn't that every week? Seems like it.
With hell, foul, brimstone, truth coming out of your mouth and fire and smoke coming out of your eyes and nose, man.
My blood pressure is so bad, I think, when I'm in here, I'm going to die in the studio.
The earbuds are holding it in his ears, so the smoke's not coming out of his ears. The earbuds are holding that in.
Well, you better, as far as your blood pressure, you better keep up some super beats next to you.
Yes, right. That's probably what I do need. Get my nitric oxide levels going up a little bit, right? Among other things.
Man, I'm so glad. By the way, you guys need 3 hours, man. I keep saying it. But I'm so glad you about Obama out there. They done dug him up out of his rat hole again. He was hibernating for a good while, but he came back out of his rat hole out there spewing out lies and all that. And to add to what you said about the economy on the Barack Obama, remember there was record numbers of people going to food banks and even the working poor, the non-working and the poor going to blood banks. And also record numbers of people, including in their 30s and 40s and 50s, moving back home with their parents. That's his legacy.
Yeah, and the jobs that he did create, Walter, were food service jobs, part-time jobs. That was his legacy.
Yeah.
Food jobs. We've got manufacturing jobs now, right?
Like Cortez says, well, if people are working two jobs, that's twice the unemployment. You know,
how did he get away with that fabricated lie about manufactured jobs not coming back? How did he get a free pass? How come
the
Republicans
the media's complicit.
Are not bringing that out about all those wicked lies? Mr. Transgender Bathroom Promoter spoke.
Yeah, can you
That's
imagine?
Right, I said it again.
Yeah, can you imagine, Walter, what Trump's approval rating would be if we just had a fair media? If they just gave him fair coverage, if you covered the good things as much as you cover these bad things, imagine what his approval rating would be.
Obama did not need a ministry of propaganda. He had CNN and NBC.
Yes.
That's right.
MSNBC and ABC, too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Man, that is so true. If we didn't get what we get from you guys and other national conservative stations, man, Trump, first of all, wouldn't have never won. And if he had the Republicans, I always tell my wife and other people, if anybody going to damn this country and send it straight to hell, is going to be those Judas, you know I'm going with this, those Judas John McCain-type Republicans. That's right, he just died, but you know what? As time goes on, I'm going to get to lighten up on him pretty soon with some hellfire brimstone.
Well, we didn't wait. Anyway. We did it last week.
Yeah, I didn't buy into the McCain hero thing at all.
We kind of started a little bit early that, didn't we? We didn't get family time to mourn long enough.
It wasn't cold yet.
That's right. All right, Walter, anything else?
Oh, I'm just glad what you guys are bringing out, man. There's not much I can add to it, you know, but I know Obama's up to his old tricks again.
Yeah.
And the Democratic Party has been born and birthed straight out of the pits of hell.
Yeah,
I'm out of here.
All right. Thank you, Walter. Have a great weekend. Okay, so I wanted to talk about this. Because of that economy, I'm going to do my little business spew here. Derek, you got this last track ready here? This is understanding the low unemployment and what it means, and I just want to kind of put a little dose of reality into these job numbers a little bit. You got that one ready? Okay, let's go with it.
Unemployment has fallen to 3.9%. What does that mean? Well, it's a rare event in the economy, and it's good news, but it's one that people have to look at very carefully. The last time unemployment hit this level was in December 2000. And we're going to go back and show what happened before that event and after. Back in the 1990s, the economy was strong and we saw this long, slow decline in unemployment until it bottomed out at 3.9%. The economy was growing at 5% and you can see we had this big run-up in economic growth. Along with the strong economy, the stock market was doing very well. You remember we were in the dot-com bubble and tech stocks were going through the roof. As you'd expect in a strong economy, prices were going up and wages were going up too. Looking back, it was these factors that made it impossible to sustain 4% unemployment. And what's happened many times in history is when the economy gets too hot, the Federal Reserve starts to raise interest rates to prevent inflation from getting out of control. But things are different now. If you look at GDP, it has grown a lot more slowly this cycle than it did back in 2000. Businesses were investing a lot in the economy, expecting further growth. This time around, there has not been that much investment, in part because people have been nervous after the nasty recession we had a few years back. Today, while there's been some recent volatility in the stock market, stocks are pretty high and they've had a good run, but nothing compared to what they had back then. Now back to inflation. So inflation and wage growth have been a lot slower in recent years compared to how they were in the 1990s. Now, that's important because that could keep the economy from overheating. But the federal government has just passed a big tax cut and a big budget deal that are both going to push a lot of money into the economy, and that could make things overheat.
All right. So the sense that he's saying there is this is not the same as 2007 because you don't have those tech stocks, which went way up. But we all know the tech stocks had no real value.
Yes, exactly.
Right?
A bubble.
It was a bubble. There was no value to the way people – kind of like Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
Facebook, people spend all kinds of money on a stock share in Facebook. But what do they really have in assets? Not a whole lot. And so I think it is a little different this time, but you still have to be careful. So I don't want anyone to say this is a big rosy picture. It's not. You got to be careful. But I like the fact that people are and businesses are kind of hedging their bets a little bit and saving some of that cash, and they're not being outrageously spending and investing.
But they're paying bonuses.
But they are paying bonuses.
They're hiring.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's a gradual, because some people said, oh, Trump's economy is unsustainable. No. It's far more sustainable than it was in 2000.
Right. That's a good point.
It's a good point. So there's reason for optimism, but – again, we all need to be careful, and we need to watch the signs. And the
we
Fed
need
will,
to not vote Democrat and kill it.
That's right, because the Democrats will undo that tax break. They will reinstate all those regulations, and it'll just put the kibosh on this growth. We got a nice, sustainable growth period going here, and we need to do that. So in November, folks, campaign and vote Republican.
Where's that music coming from?
Yeah, I know. It's time already.
Oh, no. Walter was right.
Yeah, it is. All right, folks. Until next time, go to thedailydrift.com. Get your news that you
need to know.
And go to currentonline.com, and we need advertisers.
Amen.
Call us up. Call Ed, currentonline.com. We'll see you next week.